Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Thank you, Vic. John Hansen here for Nick DiGilio until 5 o'clock, so just about another hour. And then Dave Plyer coming on, and he's got a great show. I know Gary Myers joining him, Gary Sinise. Dave Plyer always gets the great guests, and it's going to be a great show as he fills in for Steve Cochran. And then Amy Guth after that, and a long line of pinch hitters lining up to White Sox baseball as they come back home against the Royals this afternoon. All right, when I walk into work or I walk into a building, I think probably the last thing I think about, although maybe subconsciously I think about it, is how the room is lit or how everything sounds. You know, if I'm going to a restaurant, I'm thinking about food. If I go into a building, I don't look up at the lights and go, oh, that's a unique display of how those lights are done. But that is someone's job, at least some of the, you know, the better establishments think about those things. And Tim Pickett joins us now on WGN. Tim is works for Encompass AV Audio Visual. Tim, welcome to WGN.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good. I hope I'm not making you squirm by me saying that I don't think about lighting when I go into a room, because I imagine whatever room you go into, lighting and sound is one of the first things that you probably notice.
Yeah, absolutely. Even to the point where my wife now notices everything too. So, comments to me before I can comment back to her.
So what your company has done is really incredible, and you've worked on a lot of great projects here in Chicago, commercially. Sure. People that know Gibson's Restaurant Group, the Marquee, yes. Gibson's Italia, you guys have done the Nobu, yes. Hotel, which is winning awards. A lot of the buildings near Wrigley, yes. Field, especially, yes. the Hotel Zachary. So what is it about lighting and audio stuff that you love, and what do you bring? What does your company bring to these places?
Well, our passion, well, my passion, I founded the company in 1999 in the form of the name of a company called Sound and Lighting Design. And my passion was always acoustics and sound, sound for rooms. That was, I graduated from Columbia in 2000 with a degree in architectural acoustics. So acoustics is near and dear to my heart, and that's what we kind of started the company and, you know, founded as. But as time went on and there were so many, you know, there were so many other systems that, you know, came into our purview that we had an opportunity to learn and install and do, such as what you're talking about, which is like lighting. PoE lighting is the big thing that we do now. And as it's incredible new technology that is more energy efficient and it can affect wellness, like, which is kind of what you're getting at. Like you said, it's not everything. It's not something everybody thinks about.
When you say wellness, hold on, because you know when I get the mood, I get the vibe. I understand how colors can change things and energy efficiency. Obviously, we're improving our technology in terms of the bulbs. Yeah. What do you mean by wellness?
So wellness is the study of, or the how would you put it? It's as if you could put a specific definition or a numeric definition on how an employee or a client of the building would, you know, perceive how happy they are.
Okay.
You know, how good they feel to be in a building. So if you're in a building that has, you know, much older fluorescent style lights, not even LED lights, but fluorescent style lights that have that kind of glow to them, that is not really natural. I don't know if you remember being in a department store maybe 20 years ago and looking at everything, but you know, it wasn't a natural glow. You'd look at something in the department store and it would look one way, and you'd get it home and under a halogen light or an incandescent light, it would look completely different. In this day and age, we have the ability to change that. And we have the ability to change color temperature. We have the ability to change intensity. We have the ability to save money while doing that. And it's not something that you will necessarily know that's happening, like you said, which is, you know, correct. But you'll be happier because you'll be more comfortable. We can warm the color temperature up. We can give it that more natural look to it. Or we can even do something to the effect of when employees come in the morning, it has a nice warm glow to it. The room has a nice warm glow to it. When they come back from lunch and everybody has a tendency to want to take a nap, we can kind of brighten the room up or adjust the color temperature to a higher color temperature, which gives you a little bit more energy. You know, it wakes you up a little bit more, kind of like natural sunlight would. And it can make your crew more productive, and they don't even know it's making your crew more productive. So it's really interesting.
This can't be a flip of the switch then.
This is not a flip of the switch. This is something that is built in gradually to the system, and that you can set timing for, or you can use sensors that are built into these new modern lights, these POE lights. And the
so
sensors.
When you say POE, can you let us know what that is? What is
sure.
POE?
Yeah, so POE means is power over Ethernet, okay?
Okay.
So the cool thing about POE lights is instead of having a conduit, you know, that harvest that has AC power running through the conduit going to each light, you have a Cat 6 cable. And the Cat 6 cable, literally, just like a wireless access point or a security camera, sends 48-volt signal to the light and powers the light. So you don't need to have conduit to each and every light. You literally just need to get it a Cat 6 cable, which in many markets, Chicago is a little bit more particular than some markets for some reasons, but in many markets that means that you just have to run a Cat 6 cable, you know, in a ceiling with cable management to a light, and you can save a tremendous amount of money by not having to run hard conduit to each and every light. It also makes the lights reconfigurable, which is great because in a ceiling, like in an office-based environment where you have a grid ceiling, you know, a drop ceiling, you can just move lights around as you deem fit. You can literally just pick them up and move them around and, you know, move the cable around because you don't have the conduit tying it into its location. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. But we can go with POE from now on out, and now that I get it. I wanted to, looking at some of your clients that you have, before we get to some of the restaurants and stuff, I noticed on the list, University of Chicago, the build-out classrooms at the Harris School of Public Policy. I imagine schools could be, I mean, obviously they're kind of strapped for cash, many of them, and we'll get into the cost of this sort of stuff in a bit. It may save them money in the long term, but I imagine some of this might cost a little bit more in the short term. But could this be a way for our students to study, work better in their classrooms?
So here's the cool thing. 3 years ago, I would have said, yeah, this would cost a little bit more in the short term, but you know, you see your ROI, your return on investment in the long term. However, now we're able to do what's called a converged network, right? Which means that we take lights like POE lighting that are on a network, and we take cameras that are on the same that are on a network, and we take life safety and HVAC and everything that would typically in a traditional system all be on their own network and all need the cabling for different networks, and combine them into one converged network that we can manage. So in this day and age, we're actually able to see a reduction in CapEx savings if you take this path and you go towards these converged networks, whereas everything lives on one network, and we can cut your cost down. We can cut your cost down also because you're not paying a union electrician to pull conduit to each and every light. Instead of each and every light, you may need an outlet in the ceiling for a breakout POE switch, maybe, you know, once every 25 square feet or every 50 square feet, depending on the space. Whereas before, you would need, you know, conduit going to each and every light. So we can actually show a reduction in costs in the get-go, and now a reduction in costs in efficiency because of the converged IT network and because of the way that we use scheduling and everything in the long run. So it's a win-win these days.
But do you think that it would help students in classrooms? Because when I think fluorescent lights, I think of going to high school. When I think about being tired while sitting down, I think about after lunch in
100%.
School. Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the students would love this without even knowing
it. They don't even know it. That's the thing. And that's, I mean, you nailed it. It's not something they're going to notice because they're just going to be, you know, miserable because the professor is, you know, whoever the professor
right,
is.
Right.
They're not going to relate to why the lights are making them happier or less happy. That won't even come into play. They just, you know, it's seamless for us. Right. They have other complaints that'll be
right,
way
right,
above
right.
what the lighting is in that room. But you know, the PoE lights will have an ambient light sensor on them, right? So they know how much natural light is coming into the room from the windows, and they're going to compensate, you know, for that, and they're going to save energy that way, too. And it's going to save the school money. And the students will never know the difference,
right?
Which is great.
In this day of Instagram and everything like that, of course, every restaurant you're at, you either want to take a picture of your food or your friends. Every hotel you're at, you want to take a selfie of what it looks like inside in the lobby. And I wonder, does this sort of lighting, you know, when we're going away from the fluorescent stuff, I imagine it looks better. It photographs better. It just makes you feel, it feels more modern.
I think that there is definitely a quantifiable number that you can put that on. I'm sure. Yeah, I don't have any
right.
statistics that that anybody's ever done specifically on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But you, because of what you, how you can tone the color temperature, so it's not just that really cold and, you know, almost greenish nasty fluorescent light. Because you can bring those warmer, you know, just a hint of orange or a hint of blue into that light and dial it in. Yeah, I think you're right. I think your pictures are going to look more natural. You feel better under the light, and you know that goes to what we were talking about, which is wellness.
We had a texter call or texting on in, wondering if you could speak to LED lights being stressful to our eyes, doing our damage to our vision. Is there a difference between LED and incandescent? Is there any truth to that, or is that some of that stuff that we read somewhere on the internet, maybe not as true as we think it is?
So here's the thing. An LED light can be built in any color temperature, right? And it's measured in Kelvin. And, you know, it would be a range from, like, where you could see a really amber and like a glowing room and, you know, in a movie, an interrogation of a movie or something, that would be like 3,000 degrees Kelvin, okay? Mm-hmm. The nasty fluorescent lights that you would see in like a department store would be like 6,200 degrees Kelvin. A modern BMW, if you look at the headlights of a modern BMW, they got that bluish white to them almost. That's like 8,000 degrees Kelvin, right? Just to give you some perspective of range. So an LED bulb, it's not really a bulb, it's a diode, but an LED, a light-emitting diode, can be built to produce any one of those color temperatures, okay? You can build them specifically to build that, you know, whatever color temperature you want. The ones we work with, which are, you know, power over Ethernet, they're not powered by AC, can be tuned to any one of those color temperatures.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily true that an LED will hurt your eyes. It's about what you tune it to.
Interesting.
What color temperature you tune it to. So ours are completely, we can hit that whole range from 3,000 to, I think, about 7,200 degrees Kelvin.
I got to ask, you graduated from Columbia College Chicago mm-hmm. with a major in architectural acoustics, and
sure.
you know that's your love first before light. So I got to ask you about sound. All right, you know the
sure.
city really well. You know acoustics really well. What's the best venue to see a show in, acoustics-wise?
Oh, you're getting outside of my purview here.
Oh, am I? I guess I see architectural acoustics. I guess then
sure.
explain, I guess, what is that purview then?
So, well, architectural acoustics is the study of how you build rooms and make rooms that sound good, not
oh, okay.
just the sound system itself, but how you actually, you know, how the room will propagate sound and how it will distribute sound, and, you know, how do we measure that, you know, what the subjective and objective terms of that room. So that's kind of what I majored in.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent a tremendous amount of years building what we specialize in, especially for companies like Gibson's, right, is making bars and restaurants that sound good at low levels, that are not obnoxious, that don't, you know, they don't have to be turned up to 11, you know, for you to notice it. But at the same time, you want to notice the sound, hear the sound, recognize that there's good sound, but still be able to talk to the person across the table from you.
That's fascinating, by the way. Nice Spinal Tap reference. But also, John Williams was talking to this to an acoustical engineer, I think, or something out of Northwestern a couple months ago about, yeah, how at our restaurants, if you're not careful, I mean, they are so noisy these days, bars and restaurants,
yes.
and that can really do long-term damage.
Yes. I mean, it's amazing the materials that some interior designers or architects will still specify that are known to just, you know, reflect sound. You know, they build these restaurants that are all say, like a polished concrete floor, right? Or like marble, you know, tops and back, you know, backdrops that are mirrors and, you know, shining and highly reflective, with paying no attention to what that room's going to sound like when you energize it with 100 or 200 people. And these rooms get very loud, very quick. And, you know, the finishes look beautiful, but you can't understand what the person next to you is saying, let alone what the sound system sounds like and what song is on. Nothing, you know, it just, yeah, you're screaming. And it's very uncomfortable. That goes back to wellness.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
It actually goes back to wellness.
I got to ask, why do I sound better singing in the shower than anywhere else?
Well, there's a couple reasons for that.
Okay.
You're really you and the water. First of all, the water is acting as a masking system, right?
Really?
Water running is like a waterfall, right? And it kind of like that, right? Well, that's actually the same frequencies we use, or similar to the frequencies we use when we create a noise masking system, which are some of the systems we install in office spaces in order to make other voices disappear. But the other reason too is you're the only voice in the shower. Nobody else is trying to talk over you,
right? Or
if
hearing
you put 100 other. Yeah, I mean, if you made a restaurant sound like a shower and you put 100 people doing the same thing that you're doing in it, it would be terrible. And to tell you the truth, it has a pleasant reverb to it because it has a long delay time, and that can accommodate for you being off key, and that can make you sound better than you may actually sound in real life. The Beach Boys used that trick in production an awful lot back in the day. A reverb can cover up a lot of mistakes, which is why you perceive that you sound good in the shower.
Timothy, again, I expect you just
not
to laugh.
99 other people.
Yeah, I expected you just to laugh at that and not answer it, but wow, what an awesome answer. I do some, I work over at the United Center. Gene Honda is the main announcer for the White Sox and the Blackhawks, but mm-hmm. I'm his backup, and boy, we get a lot of reverb in the United Center, and my voice, I swear, before everyone shows up, I just love to get on the horn and talk as loud as I can in that thing. It sounds incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so
I can relate.
Encompass AV, so you got a bunch of great clients, and are you looking for more business clients and more buildings? I mean, who are you looking to have contact you to have you guys do some more work for them?
Well, we do, you know, anybody in the commercial world, we have services and products for. So if anybody out there is a manager, an owner, of course, owner's rep, you know, anything in the service industry, hospitality, I mean, we do dozens of hotels. We do lots of structured cabling for new buildings. Like you said, you know, we've done seven, we're going on eight projects now for Hickory Street Capital, which is owned by the Ricketts, Tom Rickett. For all that development in Wrigley Field, ton of stuff for University of Chicago over the years, all the Gibson's, you know, all the Gibson's restaurants and all their brands. We do all their build outs.
Does it matter,
you know,
of size?
Anybody, like if someone, in the commercial world.
Yeah, if someone's listening, they got a little restaurant or something, they can reach out to you guys at least to get an inquiry.
Absolutely.
On this thing?
100%. You can reach us at encompassav.com. Or you can give us a call at 847-390-1190. We'd be happy to talk to you.
To anyone that's not a believer, I guess one more pitch on the lighting thing. It really, I mean, like it makes your not only your customers feel better, but your employees too.
Yeah, it's about productivity. It really, at the end of the day, it's happy employees make you more money. As far as from an ownership standpoint, and it's a win-win for you and your employees.
Tim,
so there's things that you can implement that they don't even know.
Tim, I'm a believer. I saw the video that you guys done, and I've been to some of these places. And like you said, these are changes when you make to lights and sounds that, again, you're not going to have someone walk in and go, oh, my God, the ambient lighting and the sound acoustics are bouncing off these walls incredibly. No, it's just, boy, this feels nice in here.
Yeah, right. And it's one of those things. If you get somebody that's not complaining about it, if you can get somebody to walk away and say, wow, the sound is pretty good in there, as long as they're not coming away and saying, man, it was loud in there, or man, I couldn't hear what the person across the table from me was saying, you know, that's a success in our world, because it's not something that people normally talk about when it's working right. They definitely talk about it when it's working wrong, though.
Tim, if you could find a way to get my mom to stop changing seats in the restaurant because there's a draft, that would be the next big. That would be the big thing. Because I swear, I love my mother, but there's no matter which table we sit at, I think it's just on principle at this point. The first table we sit at, nope, there's a draft.
That's HVAC, and that's something that we're starting to tackle in our next iteration of stuff we're doing. Yeah, we're talking about control and artificial. We're talking about integrating artificial intelligence into all systems in the building.
Wow.
And that's kind of where we're moving towards in a technological way. So that's our next step. So we're not far off from what you need.
That's crazy.
We're getting there.
Tim from Encompass AV, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, John. Have a great morning.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to shift gears after the break. We're going to have news, and then we're going to talk to an organization that's helping veterans that do return home find a good education and help them pay for it, too. Not only them, but help their family also as well. More of that on 720 WGN. Hey there. Good Monday morning. 4:28 here on 720 WGN. Before we toss to the news, let you know we're going to talk to the Patriot Education Fund right after this. About all their great work that they do. And love to end the show with your thoughts and tributes to folks that served overseas and maybe some that paid the ultimate sacrifice, unfortunately. It's tough to talk about, but I think it reminds us all of how solemn of a day it is. And really, I mean, they paid the ultimate price for our freedoms every day. Both my grandfathers served in World War II, both in the Pacific Theater. Both came home, thankfully. Obviously, I wouldn't be here. Neither would my parents. But my mother's father served in Japan. He didn't serve in combat. He was actually a cartographer and redrew the maps of Japan after the war. My dad's dad was a paratrooper and helped liberate the POWs of the Philippines that had done the Bataan Death March. And years later, after serving and being in a POW camp for multiple years, my grandfather and his buddies flew in at night, paratrooped down into the Philippines with a lot of them unarmed. They had to act silently, and they were 18 years old. A lot of them didn't come home. Luckily, my grandfather did, and that's why we're here, but all the rest of us should make sure to pay tribute to them today, and we'll be doing that for the rest of the show as we lead up to Dave Plyer. But it is 4:30, which means it's news time. We head to the newsroom. Here's Vic Vaughn.